Our gospel reading, you can find on the back of the bulletin or on page 3 at the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus, and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. That's the way our baptismal liturgy begins in the Presbyterian Church. We baptize those whom God has called. Do you remember your baptism? Raise your hand. Do you remember your baptism? Perhaps you were baptized as a baby. Anybody here baptized as a baby? How about, were any of you baptized more than once? In the Presbyterian Church, we don't do that. Generally speaking, we accept the baptism of other Christian churches, believing that God has called people into baptism, and so we're not going to redo God's work. But there are all sorts of customs around baptism. Many Baptist churches, obviously not the Circle of Faith, which has joined us, but many Baptist churches have a tank in which they immerse people. We know they don't because we don't have such a tank. Back when I was still in seminary, I went to a meeting of the ministerium of that area. The people gathered included a Baptist and a, maybe Mennonite, I'm not sure what the other group was, but they got to talking about their immersion techniques and whether or not they dunked people forward or backward. These are serious things to consider. Our gospel reading this morning tells of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. Apparently, God called Jesus to be baptized by John. John was baptizing, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus came down to be baptized, John objected. "No, no, no, I should not be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus' response was, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in the way to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, this is God's will, so let's do it. I'm guessing that most of us don't give much thought to baptism, particularly our own. Oh, we like to see cute babies be brought forward for baptism. We rejoice when young adults, older children come forward to be baptized. We might have even a deeper sense of joy when an adult comes forward to be baptized for the first time in their life. But what is baptism? What difference does it make? Perhaps the first most obvious question one might think to ask is baptism necessary for salvation? My reaction is that no. God has done what God needs to have done for our salvation God does not need us to bring ourselves to be baptized in order for God to complete God's saving work. We need to acknowledge this saving work, and we do so when we bring ourselves for baptism. But God does not need us to be baptized in order for God to do what God has done in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a public acknowledgement that the person that we have been called into the household of faith. Our liturgy for baptism says, in baptism, God claims us. God seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and we are joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. We are joined to Christ's ministry. Think of that today. In your baptism, you were joined to Christ's ministry. Jesus' baptism was followed by a time in the wilderness, a time of tempting, a time of preparing for his public ministry. And I think that's where we start our beginning again this morning, our beginning again, as I've named this sermon. Back up, repeat. Our baptism is not some sort of vaccination or inoculation which fits us for salvation, but it is the beginning of our life as disciples of Jesus Christ. Through the sacrament of baptism, we enter into the covenant God established in Jesus Christ. Within this covenant, God gives us new life. God strengthens us to resist evil and nurtures us in love. Through this covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning toward Jesus Christ. In our baptism, we make certain promises, or certain promises are made for us and then confirmed at the time of our confirmation. These are the questions that are normally asked of those who seek baptism in the Presbyterian Church. They may not be the questions that you were asked or were asked in your behalf. I ask them for you now. Who is your Lord and Savior? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers? These are questions for the beginning of a life of discipleship, not questions that are simply answered once in order to get it done. These are questions asked of us daily. Consider your baptism. Just as I suspect most of us don't think much about our baptism and what it meant or means, I suspect that we don't think much about those promises that we made or that were made for us. As we begin a new year here at Lakeview, we also are beginning a new shared mission partnership with the Circle of Faith. We are continuing to forge a relationship with them and relationships with them as friends, as sisters and brothers in Christ. In this ongoing journey, together we will discover new ways to serve God, responding to God's will that we live into a new way of doing church together. In our baptism, we were engrafted into the body of Christ, meaning that following Christ, each and every day we turn to God to seek God's will. Believing in the promises of our baptism, we trust that God will provide us with wisdom and strength and courage to follow where Jesus Christ will lead us. God will call us into new ways of serving, no matter how young we are or how old we may be, no matter our financial circumstances or our physical or mental health. God will continue to place a claim upon our lives for our whole lives long. Please pray with me. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. From it, we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may have the power to do your will, that we may continue forever in the risen life of Christ. Give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Amen. When Russ and I were discussing this thought this week before he left to go up to Maryland to do a funeral, he drew on his experience as an enlisted Marine in expressing his understanding of baptism. I asked him to write it down so I can share it with you. Again, his experience as an enlisted Marine. In baptism, we are initiated into a faith community and we take on a new identity. This new identity and our sense of belonging encourages and empowers us to live by and up to the standards of the community. We don't want to diminish the community. And we are strengthened by the example of those who have established and lived by the standards. Others do it, I can too. And if others are doing it, I will not let them down. As we begin again this new year and a new life together, consider your baptism. What is God calling you to be and to do at this point in your life? Not leaning back on what you've already done or what you think you need to do because somebody needs to do it. Your baptism initiated you into the lifelong covenant as a member of the body of Christ. God empowers you to live out this commitment with wisdom and courage and compassion and love. God is calling you as God's beloved child into a life of discipleship. May we respond as Samuel responded, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amen.